Hey everyone, this is Heather, and you're listening to Simply Healed with Heather Leonard. Today's episode is called Shadow Work. I'm excited to get into this topic. It's not one I've ever done before, but it's something that a friend has been talking to me about, and I have a client who keeps asking me questions around this, so it's time, guys. Here we go, and thanks for joining. It's so funny because sometimes I do a topic that I feel so green on, it's not even funny. And for whatever reason, those are always my best episodes. I think it's because I'm meeting people where they're at more often than not with like very little information on a topic. So the things that I bring up are things that might be questions on your own mind around something because it's the stuff that I've sort of like played with a little bit, but don't really have a deep knowledge of. So I'm going to talk from a layman's point of view. For those of you who are experts in shadow work, I will apologize for everything I say that makes no sense to you at all. This is just my perspective on it and sort of how I view shadow work and what I even think it is. So I feel as though, and so again, just be kind with me this week, guys. And I will apologize, I'm probably way out of breath to be recording a podcast episode. I just did my morning exercises, so I'm fully out of breath. I have, I'm recording this way in advance because my best friend from high school and I are going to be doing like a complete free your mind. Oh my gosh, she's actually calling right now. How hilarious is that? We're going to be doing a hike, like a sip and hike back to a place from our childhood that we haven't been to in years, next week when I usually record this. So I'm just doing it in advance. So I apologize for being out of breath and it's just out of routine, but I'm excited about this one. All right. So within all of us, there is a light aspect and a shadow aspect. Similar to yin and yang, you know, it's as though like both are there and they both have a place and a role. I think of it as though the angel on your shoulder and the devil on the other shoulder kind of thing. You know, within each of us, there's this higher self. And I think of that as the light part. And then the shadow part, I mean, oftentimes when I think of the shadow part, I think of childhood wounding and stuff we've carried with us. It's not just childhood. It's anything in our past that has sort of created this sort of darker aspect. That's the way I look at it anyway. I know this is not all the way it is, but so our woundings and our traumas and all that stuff, we carry it with us. We learn from it. So it's not as though it's an entirely negative thing. It's just, it really gets a bad name. And I don't treat my shadow that way. I am talking about it as though it's a whole nother party. the shadow self in me, I've learned to love because I feel like you can't carry negativity with you in this world and be a whole balanced person. You know, if you're looking at some aspect of yourself as though it's wrong and it's dark and it's bad, it's carrying a negative aspect towards yourself. And how unhealthy is that? So I see it for what it is, and it's not a part of me I'm proud of, but I don't feel shame within myself about it. You know, the parts of me that, you know, want to be lazy, the parts of me that want to be, you know, gossiping with a friend or whatever the bad aspects are that we don't like about ourselves, I still embrace it. And if anything, I kind of love on it more, that poor part of me, because when you pour love into a part of yourself, it's really hard to just let that grow, right? It's almost like if it's the fire within you and you're pouring water on it, it's going to extinguish. But you don't have to kill that part off. So I think a lot of people, when they're trying to do shadow work and work on these darker aspects of themselves to become a better person, they're actually like causing inner turmoil and they're fighting against themselves. You know, if you're somebody who has a gambling addiction, I'll say, for instance, to try to fight against that and to shame yourself for it. And like, I sometimes think that's when you start to just hate on yourself, like for when you fail and you go back to that habit that you were trying to kick. And in a sense, you feel like you're depriving yourself of something you love to do when you're not doing it. And like, I think if you can just like appreciate it for what it is. And like, I know within my own self, let me give an example. Like if there's a part of you that, well, actually, I'll just go to the conversation I just had with a friend. If there's a part of you that from your childhood felt not loved enough, always vying for attention, and I'll just use the example from her own life. If there's one parent who was consistent and there, and they were not loving and they were not pouring into you, but they were consistently there in body. Now the other parent was not there as consistently. They were sort of in and out. But because of that, when they were there, they overdid, they overpoured. But it was like with material things. It wasn't from a place of like love. And even if it was, that's probably more of like that sort of love dumping. What do they call that? Love bombing. Sorry. Love dumping sounded wrong. Love bombing. Oh, but you know what I'm saying? Like they sort of overdid, overpoured, tried too hard. And so now in her relationships as an adult, she's constantly feeling like it's not enough from a partner and that they're looking for somebody to consistently be there in body, but to give lovingly, consistently as well, but not in the way of giving of things, but of attention and time. And I can relate to all of that. Like, I think that for me is something that is important too, that it's not, it's like that desire to have something that feels consistent, but it also feels sort of healthy and coming from a place of, you know, adoring you, not just trying to make up for lost time and that sort of thing. Does that make sense? So this is interesting because it's a shadowy aspect, and she's constantly trying to work on this aspect of her that is wanting too much from a partner. It's asking it too quickly. It's trying to move too fast to get to that, because it's this sort of feeling of desperation. Like, I need this. I need this in my world because I never had it and I want it. And it's like an addiction towards having that thing. And because of it, there's consequences. There's people around her. There's these other people trying to connect with her within relationship who are trying to, you know, meet these big demands. But it's like, it's too early. It's too fast. It's like, that's a lot to ask of somebody right off the bat. You know, and I was talking to her about how my husband and I's relationship had gone within our marriage. And she had said, you know, well, of course it's that newness. It's that beginning part that's so addicting and fun. And like, then once it, cause she had spoken with a counselor about it, this was advice that they had given her, was like, it's that quality at the beginning that you're wanting. But then once it gets into the meat of the relationship and you're in the marriage, then you have to kind of work at it. And that part's not as fun. And so it's that addiction back to wanting that early stages. And I was just sitting there scratching my head. Like, I never had that. I never had that. I think that, and that's what I start calling the fairy tale ending that I desire. And I think I call it that because I think it's rare. It's not a fairy tale. It exists. It's just not common. But it's available to have a marriage where you don't have to work at it. It just stays that good as the beginning. It doesn't have to be that way where, you know, you fall into routine or, I mean, and maybe there's some inner work you have to do to be balanced enough to sort of keep bringing that to the table. I don't know. But back to the healing work around your shadow, I think that, sure, she could see that as like a shadow aspect she has to work on. But I think that how you approach that has to be done right. Because if you look at it as, wow, I'm broken. Look what my childhood did to me. Look what my past experiences and my bad relationships have done to me. Now I'm craving this and I'm over pushing. And yeah, I mean, that's hard on yourself. And I'm not saying give yourself free passes for all of your bad qualities, but the shadow is not to blame here. The shadow is the part you need to hug on a little bit. It's the small child in the corner that's like wanting, you know, dad to come around more often. It's the, you know, part of you that's wanting your mom to like, you know, love on you and not just be hard on you and always be, you know, demanding of what you need to be doing more of. And it's the part of you that was hurt by that past boyfriend who cheated on you. And like, really, you want to be hard on her? She's the one that's been taking all the junk for you all these years. You know, like mentally do a visualization, picture that like younger you in all these situations and extend a hug, for goodness sake. Like, just tell them like, it's going to be good. We've got this. And like, instead of just harping on that part of you and being like, oh, go away. I need you gone. I need to be this higher light self. I need to like shed all this garbage and move forward from it. It's not that easy. I mean, you could call it baggage. It comes with us. And I love baggage because it's the growth I've been through. Like, if you take all that away, I'm not a very good partner. I'm only a great partner because I've had the traumas happen to me. So I know how to do better. I know what doesn't work. I know when I've done it all wrong. I know when I was like too much. I know, when, you know what I mean? I know when I text bombed somebody, but it was coming from my own place of hurt or insecurity. Like, I've done the bad things in the past that were gross that I've grown and learned from. I don't do that stuff anymore. It's not even a part of me. But it's not because I shoved it out and looked at it as like, you know, some dirty aspect. No way. That was the me that was looking for something better. And it did it in the wrong ways. So I'm not going to like shame it. Now I'm referring to this other entity as an it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part of you that grew. And if you erase all that, all the traumas, all the stuff you went through, all the darkness and shadows, you haven't grown at all. So let that shadow be there and just acknowledge that, yeah, that stuff happened. And you can be kind of grossed out by your own behavior. You can wish you had done things differently. You can wish that that part of you felt more secure. If you're somebody who, you know, if you're somebody and you know you do things that are constantly hurting someone else, there does have to be a point at which you self-reflect and look at that shadow and figure out, where's that coming from? Why am I doing that? I mean, some people hurt before they can get hurt, and that's just a pattern. So figure it out. Like, are you purposely trying to hurt somebody, or is it like that's the fallout? Is they're getting hurt because you're acting in such a way? So that's the part where I can't call it shadow work, because you do have to sort of dig a little and figure out, where's it coming from? Why am I acting this way? Especially if it's something you can recognize in yourself that's not healthy. You know, so start there. Figure out what are your contributions to the relationships around you? Not just like love relationships, but, you know, you with your kids, you with your, you know, parents, your friendships. Like, what are the parts that aren't that shining? Those are the shadow things. And then take a look at it. Is there a pattern? You know, are they all addictions? Are they like, you know, enough is never enough, I need more? Then that's a common pattern, and you can work on that. Why is it? Why has nothing ever satisfied me? Why do I always need more? You know, if you're somebody who is never loyal in a relationship, why is that? You know, is there a pattern to like, other people have hurt me, so I'm just going to step out before they hurt me because it's a protective thing? Or like, oh, they're starting to love me a little too much, get a little too close to some of these aspects of myself, so I'm gonna do something to hurt them? Like, what? What's happening? And that's the work. It's not now looking at that part of you and just being like, all right, I'm gonna stop doing this. That part, you know, that's the gross part of me and I'm done with you. And now 2024, I'm gonna be better version. Like, all this BS, that's not doing the work. That's just being harsh on yourself. And it's really probably just gonna lead to the same behavior again. Anyway, in my opinion, because I mean, have you really fixed anything? No, you've just looked at it through the lens of like, there's some gross aspect of you that's not good and I can be better, and you're just trying to sort of like outgrow it. But how do you outgrow something without actually doing work to recognize, where is it coming from and why did it ever turn up? And especially if it's a pattern, you know, why do I keep going back to this? Why is this something I keep doing? But shadows are really great at teaching us things. And I have done some interesting this year, especially just because shadow work keeps coming to me in a lot of these healing groups that I'm in and stuff about do the shadow work. And it's like, I don't even know. It sounds kind of weird for one, just the term, you know, and it took me a while to even kind of come around to understanding this whole aspect of having these sort of inner personalities, I don't know, these inner selves that are sort of working together in a sense. I visualize, because I love visualization, it helps me to work and grow. So I picture there's this shadowy version of myself. Of course, every time I picture them, they're like the one that's like, you can picture it. Like, picture yourself in a movie, and if they wanted you to be some dark character, that's what they would dress you up to look like. And then if you're supposed to be this light self, I always picture them like glowing in white and like this light around them and like this, they're like the angel in there, right? And then I also try to picture the inner child. Like, I picture me around like 4 years old, like this inner impressionable, youthful self. That also is very good work, by the way. If you're ever trying to work on your shadow self, love on the light self a little too, because I mean, especially like that inner child, like mentally give them a hug, you know what I'm saying? Because sometimes pouring love into your younger self actually helps to heal that shadow self a bit too. Because sometimes it is just the stuff that they needed to get, you know, and so just sort of, anyway, that's a whole sidetrack. But I picture these, like these characters going on inside myself sometimes. And then when looking at the dark sides, I can see, you know, yeah, everybody knows their bad qualities. You know, am I a little bit too quick to anger? Am I a little like short, or do I get frustrated when somebody does X or whatever? And it's usually so much clearer to see when you separate it all out and you just look at that character within yourself. You know, what is it? Why is she so this way? What built her into that? And I actually sort of admire that part of me because it's also the tough part of me that doesn't let people walk all over me. You know what I mean? If not for my shadow self, I would be sort of just exposed to the world as this like deer in the headlights. Do you know what I mean? Because my lighter aspect is very light. You know, some people have sort of the middle, like their dark isn't that dark and their light isn't that light. I feel like I've got two extreme natures within me. My light self is so willing to trust everybody. I don't hold on to anything. I am willing to start fresh. I am willing to look at somebody who has not a good quality in them and find some spark of light. Like my light aspect wants to believe everybody is this way. Everybody's lovable. And it is almost so naive. And I would have been, as my mother used to say growing up, she used to tell my best friend and I, because we were both this way, just like so trusting of everybody and everything. And she was like, you guys are going to end up dead in a ditch somewhere. That's what she used to say all the time. Like, you two need to recognize you can't like walk in your bathing suits by this on the street, you know, like for miles. This is not safe. What are you doing? We would dance in the rain and like we were just pure light and like fun. I don't think about bad consequences when I'm in that sort of like, you know, naive. It was naive. And it was probably a great thing that God gave me the mother that he did, because she's probably right. I would be dead in a ditch somewhere if not for her reminding me of all the bad consequences that could happen. So anyway, that light side of me is being protected by my shadow self my whole life. Because once she told me I could end up dead in a ditch somewhere, the shadow self held that information. So that I feel like my subconscious mind, you know, it's hanging on to that still. So now every time I want to do something like leave my house unlocked when I go to leave or whatever, the shadow self says, not everybody is as good as you. There are people that would walk right into your house and steal everything you have, and you need to do something to guard yourself. And so my shadow self, I think of them now as just like the big sister who's looking out for me and going, girl, like, get it together. The world is not like that. Like, stop, you know, but I still prefer to let the light side of me out to play more often than letting the shadow self run the show, because the shadow self, let's get into the mind, body, spirit, health aspect. The shadow self is the self that is going to have the cortisol, you know, which is the hormone with stress, and it's taking on all the burden while this light aspect of me is out there bouncing around like there's no problem, right? So the dark side, the shadow side, has to keep maintaining safety for me. And it keeps trying to remind me from my subconscious, hey, guess what? You've seen this before. This can go wrong in this way. You saw, you know, your cousin's car get broken into when they left it unlocked at the, you know, and it's pulling up from the memory banks all these things that have happened in my past, and it's throwing them up into the surface to say, whoa, wait a minute, take caution. Don't just allow this person to have full access to you at day one of your heart, like slow down, all of that stuff. That's the shadow aspect. Is that wrong? Does that make it bad? No. I mean, sure, it's the baggage I carry. It's the part of me that maybe does keep me from fully opening up, fully loving, wholly, and like could get in the way if I let it have free rein. but it needs to be there to dampen and sort of like temper everything and just say, whoa, like with time, you know what I mean? Just remember this, you know, this will come, but just remember like last time you had a business dealing like that, this happened. It's going to keep saying like, here's the caution tape, you know, it, instead of a full green light, I'm giving you the yellow light. And that's not a bad thing. And if you can really embrace that part of yourself and thank it for stepping up and keeping you from ending up dead in a ditch, you're going to learn to love yourself better. So when we're talking about better self-love and being whole and balanced and all this stuff that they say in the media, it's not wrong. It's annoying because you hear it all the time and it's like, what's that even mean? That sounds so woo-woo and out there. Okay, but it's a thing. And if you can start to, instead of eye rolling when you hear some of these terms, dig just deeper as to what does that even mean? I think that the growth comes more easily. So just a quick break, and I've got more to say on it, guys. Thanks for joining today. So in today's episode, if you heard me talking about the subconscious mind and what dwells in there, and you know you have stuff in your own subconscious mind that you'd like to get a little better grasp on, either you know, bringing up some of these better qualities within yourself or working on some of these more shadow aspects, I can help you with my hypnosis sessions. So guys, I will drop a link in today's podcast description if it's something you're interested in. It'll bring you to my website where you can find out more, and I'll also drop my email if you have specific questions over what I do. If you don't see something listed but you're interested in it, it is likely that I have some hypnosis sessions that can help. So you just drop me a message and I'll let you know what we can do. All right guys, right back to the show. Okay, so I mentioned in the first half of the show that this is a topic that a best friend and I have been working on together, as well as a client. So I want to bring up the client issue that she's been working on around this, so you can see how that affects other aspects of your life as well. So she's having the issue where she's trying to move into a new love situation, but she's still holding on to a past love experience. So she's trying to let go of the past and move into something new. So the issue she's having is she's not fully getting anywhere with this new relationship. And it is being brought to her attention that it's because she has not fully released the past. Now, in this way, this is where our baggage, our past stuff, can really hold us back from moving into new situations. Because of course you don't want to dissolve. Like I said before, if you didn't have those past shadow aspects, how would you ever grow? So you don't want to just like cut the anchor, you know what I mean, fully. But there are cords, and people talk about cutting the cord of past energies and things. And if you can't fully do that and release it, I feel like I'm getting a cold. I pray I'm not. I shouldn't have even said that out loud, but I keep feeling like I need to clear my throat today. Sorry, guys. So if you can't cut those cords and you have those energetic attachments still to a past person, it can largely hold you back from moving forward with a new person. And I think you can see how that could easily happen. But how do you do that? How do you learn and grow and take with you the lessons learned, but disconnect from that emotionally fully? Here's a good test, and this is what I had her do, was to imagine that past person. It doesn't matter if they're deceased, it doesn't matter if they're still living, it doesn't matter what the situation was, but you have a past person that's still, you have love for them, right? You haven't stopped loving them, they still hold a piece of your heart, but you're trying to move into this new place. If that past person shows up at your door, what happens? So that's a big test, because what if you've really released them, but you've held on to the lessons, the person shows up at your door and you can wish them well, but it doesn't make your heart want to jump out of its chest. It doesn't make you want to leap into their arms and give them a kiss. It doesn't make you want to, like, none of that. It's like, I still have love for you and I wish you well, and I want you to have love with someone else. I want you to find this for yourself. But we have exhausted all of our stuff to know that it's not with each other. Like, it's not, that's not what it is. And if it's a deceased person, which is where a lot of my clients are falling into like a struggle, it's hard because nothing ever went wrong within a marriage often. I mean, sometimes it did. I've had some clients who had, after their person passed, they found letters and things in the phone where they found out they were being cheated on. And there can be stuff like that. But I'm saying, for the most part, when you were fully in love and the person passed away and nothing ever went wrong, they just died, you know? When that happens, it's very hard to not imagine if they showed up at the door, you wouldn't want to leap into their arms and plant a kiss on them because they never screwed up. Nothing ever went wrong within the marriage. You know, there was no reason, no fights, no, you know, love loss, nothing. It was just good. But you still have to be disconnected enough that that was that chapter. And it was beautiful and wonderful. And of course, you'd want to rush into their arms and give them that one last hug. But a passionate kiss, if you're really ready to move forward with another relationship, I feel like you've got to be at a place where that would be something where you would be able to say to them, hey, look what I found again, and sit and have a conversation for hours about it with this person you adore, but not somebody who, you know, you really just want to have it be them again. And that's hard. That is a really healed place. And a lot of people move into their next relationship before they've ever gotten that healing. I just feel like it's so important for your next person that you can get yourself there, to know that this chapter was so beautiful and wonderful, but it's a closed chapter, you know? And now what I take from that is lessons learned, is, you know, I mean, there's a reason. Let's say this. There's a reason that your ex is your ex. No matter what, there's a reason. If somebody is a past person for you, there's a reason that they're a past person. There's a reason that you two decided to go different ways. Now, there's levels to this, because sometimes you made the decision, sometimes you made the decision together, and sometimes the other person made the decision, so you weren't even ready to cut ties. And that's when I think the most healing needs to happen, because you never made that decision for yourself, someone else made the decision for you. And if you're in that space, you really need to get to the point of looking through their eyes at what was wrong, why wasn't it there? If the person said to you, you know, I just stopped feeling it, or like, I think we just need to do our own thing, and you're just sitting there going, wait, what went wrong? I don't understand. When that happens, I find people really are still, those cords are all over the place. They haven't cut any of them. They're not free of it. They're still trying to grasp and grapple with, what did I do? And why are you putting it on yourself, is what I would ask. In that situation, why are you asking yourself, what did you do wrong? Why are you taking personal ownership over this? If you weren't someone else's person, that's it. You weren't their person. They get to decide for themselves whether you are or you aren't. You could always sit down with them and say, hey, can we have a quick conversation? Like, I want to grow through this. What didn't work? Was I too much? Was it like, was there just like a chemistry that wasn't there, or an attraction? Was it that I was too demanding of your time? Was it because, you know, I never emptied the dishwasher and you had to do everything? Like, I'm making stuff up. Well, what is it? Like, did I leave my socks on the floor? What happened? But if you could really understand from their point of view, I mean, maybe they're just going to say, I don't know. It's just that missing thing wasn't there. Okay, great. That's fine too, because guess what? Again, it's not about you. You're not missing some aspect. You're missing something that aligned for them. Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't mean you have to do personal growth. You need to go work on your shadow work. You need to be a better, stronger you. I'm not saying you don't have to. I'm just saying that the reason that relationship didn't work, it's not because of you. We take on so much. Like, I wasn't enough. That's not it. You're plenty enough. It's just that everybody has what lights them up, you know? I mean, not everybody would be able to deal with my 20 out of 10 energy all the time. I'm a lot, probably, to some people, you know, but that doesn't mean I should dampen my light. It means that if I'm not for somebody else, I need to go find somebody else who likes a 20 out of 10 light that's, you know, kind of high energy all the time, or like positive all the time. Some people really can't do that. That is like not a match. And can you see what I'm saying? That quality doesn't necessarily need to be changed. It's not a match for them, but I'm not going to try to make myself a match for someone else. I'm not going to adjust my personality or the way I am to be better for someone else. You've got to stay exactly who you are and just know that there is a match out there for you. Mm-hmm. that is a match for that, that does want what you have. You can hear Stitch coming in, all his snorts and grumbles. Sorry, guys. But yeah, that it's not about you adjusting self in those circumstances. I find that people do, every time something goes wrong, it's like, oh, I need to do more internal work. And while I tell you guys all the time, life is a reflection of what you are, who you are, yes. So if you are in a real negative state, you'll be attracting in negative stuff. So yeah, in those circumstances, you do need to do internal work. And I will say, you attracted in this last relationship that didn't work out based on who you were at that time. So yes, there's some personal stuff that you could do better, because if you're fully in your own authentic skin, if you're really being you, and you as a positive person coming from a good place, you are gonna find that match. Stop working at it so bad. Like, stop working on yourself to change to attract in what you want. That doesn't work. You just need to embrace who you are, hug the shadow self, be a little more okay with your own skin. And that aspect of you is going to draw in a match for who you already are, right? But if you see that, like, the next person you bring in is inconsistent, if they are non-committal, if they are nasty with their words or quick to anger or blame or whatever that is, you need to look a little bit at self to say, why then did I just attract that in? What in me is inconsistent? What in me is, you know, quick to anger? What in me is, you know, that's when you can do the work. But to say like, oh, I just need to be more this or more that because they wanted me to be more this or that is crazy. Don't do that. I'm not calling you crazy. I'm just saying, oh boy, be nicer to yourself. The shadow work is just about acknowledging, seeing it for what it is, that you do have some dark aspects. We all do. Not thinking you're perfect and it's always the other person, but knowing that there's stuff that has been built out of your own experiences that is not always, you know, love and light. And acknowledging that for the most part, it comes from a place of having lived and learned, trying to self-protect, and doing the best it can, really. And so in that way, I think it's easier to love on that part of yourself and also work on it, you know, acknowledging it and then trying to do better, trying to just let it fade into the background more and letting the lighter side prevail, letting the inner child feel the love, you know, that it didn't get maybe, or that, you know, when we're kids, harsh stuff happens. That's just growth. That's part of the growing process. You know, not all kids are going to be, you could be the last kid picked a few times on the playground. Let's just say it's still in there. It's still in your subconscious mind. It hasn't gone anywhere. You're still fully aware when you weren't accepted, or, you know, you slipped and everybody laughed, or whatever happened to you. You know, like, all this stuff is in there, and it's built up this inner shadow. And the inner shadow is just trying to say, hey, laugh before they can laugh, you know, be a little, and it's trying to just do these things in a way of self-protection. It's not trying to, you know, have this persona that, I don't know how to explain it, but it's not the bad guy here. It's not the devil. And for a long time, I really did think it was like the devil in me, you know, and it's just not. It is though, harsh lessons learned, and it is, you know, that inner protection, and some people's is big. Some people have a real big protective, because the more stuff that happens, the more stuff you've been through, the more that aspect grows. And sometimes it can grow too big. I mean, this is the lesson here, and the warning label that comes with this is that if untampered, that's not the word at all. If not dealt with anyway, this inner shadow aspect can grow to astronomical places, you know, it can take over. And none of us want a hollow life that doesn't have love in it, that doesn't have fun in it. And so in the fun and the light and the play and all that comes from the light aspect of us. So if you start letting that darker aspect take over, it starts to see the world through that lens. Never trust anybody, you know, and always have your guard up. And if somebody gets too close, you have to run. And if it starts to feel like commitment and I've been there before and it didn't go right and I got hurt, and then it's like ditch out, you know, treat them poorly and all that stuff. Yeah, it's bad behavior. You know, it is. You can't live your life that way and get the stuff you want. You gotta like really get right with what are your life goals here. And if eventually you want some happiness and you want, you know, a life that feels good to come home to and the right person sending you off in the morning and loving on you as you sleep in your bed at night, then you need to be okay with allowing the shadow self, but letting the light self really prevail and be the one that runs the show. You know, of course, if you start seeing red flags, if you start to see patterns emerge that you've had with another person that were not good and healthy, but it doesn't mean the first time the person screws up and does something that reminds you of, you know, a past person that hurt you, you immediately cut them off. I mean, give a little grace, allow people to be human and not perfect. And I think, yes, a pattern that develops for sure. You know, that's when the shadow self is there. It's there to remind you, hey, you've been here before. This wasn't good. This is not in your best interest. Let's leave this before it gets worse. You know, you've tried, you've put in the work. It's time to go. Yeah, let them have a voice. But strike one, and now we're running for the hills, or like assuming that, yep, here we go again. All women are alike, all men are alike, you know, whatever that is, that's not true. And that's when the shadow work comes in to say, okay, gotcha, hear ya, quiet down. Let's just see how this goes. Let's keep it in the background. Let's not forget, but let's go into this with grace and understanding and communication. Let's communicate to the person, hey, I've been here before in a relationship where somebody's checking in on me all day long because they don't trust me. It doesn't work for me because I haven't done anything wrong. You know, I'm busy at work. I'm busy with friends and family. We should miss each other a little bit. This is a lot. You know what I mean? Say the things on your mind. Don't just say nothing and then like see if it pops up again, because it might pop up again. But if you bring communication to the table and you say to the person, I'm starting to see these and it freaks me out just a little bit. It's delivery too, okay? Like I've seen this before, it didn't go great because it makes me feel like you don't trust me and I haven't done anything to break your trust. Like, can we back down a little bit on the, you know, on the midday texting or, you know what I mean? Something like that. Like, can we get there? You gotta trust me. And sometimes people don't recognize their own shadows behaving poorly. And then it's like, oh shoot, yeah, no, I'm so sorry. This is just like my free, you know, every time I have a break or whatever, this is what I like. I just like talking to the person that makes me feel happy and you make me feel happy. Guess what just happened? You know, now the other person can recognize like, oh, this isn't coming from a place of distrust. They just like want to hear from me because they like me. This is good. Do you see what I'm saying? So like, communication is almost always the missing element because we just assume from our past experiences, this is why this person's acting this way. They're insecure. They think I'm out here cheating while I'm at work slaving away, when really they were just like, oh, I had a free minute, so I wanted to talk to my favorite person for a minute because it brings my energy up in the middle of the day to connect with you. Or I know you're thinking of me too, or whatever, right? Just say it. And then if it really still feels gross to the other person, by communicating like, hey, I don't like this because midday I just got to focus on work, then maybe they can adjust and go, oh, I get it. No, totally. Like, I will wait until like once you're off work at the end of the day to fire out like a text or whatever. I don't know. But there are things that we just draw conclusions based on past stuff. And that's what the shadow is there to do, is to like keep us protected. Remember, you know, been there, done that, didn't like it. But then it needs to like just cool it a little bit, or you're going to keep messing up my future. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in a pattern of, man, every time I'm in a relationship, I always get this girl who's texting midday and she's driving me nuts and then I'm out. And well, okay, you keep attracting this, but you've never communicated it. You've never worked through it. You've never mentioned to the person, hey, can you try to chill out? Or you have, but you've come from a place of like anger already with it. Like, dude, why are you texting me when I'm at work? Oh, I'm working my butt off. Don't you know? And you know, it's like a fight. It's like, whoa, why on earth didn't you just communicate? Like, yeah, this doesn't really work for me. Like, my past girlfriend always did this and it kind of drives me nuts because she was so insecure and it makes me feel like you don't trust me. And if you just said that, just imagine like what the other person could come back with. You don't know. We think we know everything, right? Like, I already know, been here, done that. Like, I already know. I could bring it up, but they're just going to say, oh, no, I'll be different, and then do it again, because I've seen that happen a bunch. Doesn't mean it's going to happen this time. This could have been your one. You know, that could have been your person, and you just were like over it and exhausted from past relationships going in the pattern that it did, that you were just like, nope, you're not my person. And then you just literally threw the person out the door that could have been your happily ever after. So that's how I think you can apply this shadow work to growing yourself within a relationship or trying to get into a new one. But I will say, going back to the client experience that she mentioned, you do have to disconnect from those cords, from that past person fully, so that your heart is no longer hoping they show up healed and better, that you can really accept where they are on their own path, that that's who they are, and not be like holding out to see if they grow, to see if they come back around, to, you know, and if any aspect of you is still kind of holding your breath and hoping for that, then you're not ready for the next quite yet, you know? But it doesn't take much to do that work. Just get out there and do some of it, you know? Start realizing and recognizing, take things as they are, you know? If you've worked at it with a person in the past, you've given it a fair try, you know, you've maybe done counseling, or you've, you know, tried to work through it, you tried to take a pause, you got back together, you tried again, or you've really feel like you've exhausted it. You've had all the conversations and it's same behaviors. Even if they do change, it's pretty likely that, like, you know, you've been there, done that. They go right back into that old pattern. It's because we are who we are, you know? So at a certain point, that clear break, that clean break is so important in order to be fair to the next, in order to be fully present in a partner that the next would really want. And it's a messy situation anyway, if you still have some of those old cords, because if things start going great with the new, and then you open that door and there they stand fully healed and ready to go, or so it would appear, you now got yourself in a position, you know, you've got yourself where you could potentially hurt more than one person, you know, three, you, the new person and the old person. So it's a really important aspect of healing. And there's no time limit. Some people can do this almost immediately, and some people it takes months to years, you know. But if you're ready for the next, that's a really good sign that you are fully healed from the last. But if you picture yourself opening that front door, boy, and you are just so happy to see this healed version of them, maybe then you just needed to do more work, I guess, on growth, if you really think they could get there. I don't know. There's a lot we don't know. But if you're wanting to fully embrace the next, that's a great starting point, is first loving on that shadow self, letting the light aspect out to play more, and the inner child, you know, and just give them what they didn't get, all that stuff. And yeah, I think that's the way to play with the shadow, is stop thinking of it as the devil, and instead start loving on it as the self-protector. And when you can do that, I think that it opens you up to self-healing, self-growth, feeling more balanced and full and whole as a person. And then I think you're going to find yourself ready for whatever comes next, whatever that may be, in love or just in life. So, and the most beautiful part is when you do that healing work, you're secure in being alone and not having to be in a relationship. It's the great cherry on top of if it is there, but if it's not, you're not like desperately seeking it. So that's what my advice would be on that, for those of you who are constantly searching for the next, because you don't like being alone. That's probably because you've got the self-work to still do and start loving on that inner aspect of you. All right, guys, thank you for joining me today. Thank you, as always. Keep liking, subscribing, following, telling your friends, and I'll see you next week.